The Lord be with you. A reading from the beginning of the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. A book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham became the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah became the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez became the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab. Amminadab became the father of Nashon, Nashon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz became the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed became the father of Jesse, Jesse the father of David the king. David became the father of Solomon, whose mother had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon became the father of Rehoboam, Rehoboam the father of Abijah, Abijah the father of Asaph. Asaph became the father of Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat the father of Joram, Joram the father of Uzziah. Uzziah became the father of Jotham, Jotham the father of Ahaz, Ahaz the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah became the father of Manasseh, Manasseh the father of Amos, Amos the father of Josiah. Josiah became the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the Babylonian exile. After the Babylonian exile, Jeconiah became the father of Shealtiel, Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel the father of Abiud. Abiud became the father of Eliakim, Eliakim the father of Azor, Azor the father of Zadok. Zadok became the father of Achim, Achim the father of Eliud, Eliud the father of Eleazar. Eleazar became the father of Mathan, Mathan the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. Of her was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Thus, the total number of generations from Abraham to David is 14 generations. From David to the Babylonian exile, 14 generations. From the Babylonian exile to the Christ, 14 generations. The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. You already know I love that gospel, don't you? You've heard me before. I once had a woman, has nothing to do with my homily here this morning, I once had a woman in a past parish come to make an appointment to me right about this time of year, because this gospel reading is one of the options for Christmas Eve. And she heard that I had the Mass for Christmas Eve. And she said, "I'm begging you, don't read that reading. Please, it's the most boring reading in the whole world, all those names." But it's actually fascinating. Let me lead you up to it, okay? Lead you up to it by telling you about the God of surprises that we hear about in today's readings. The surprises begin in the first reading. First reading tells us the story of Jacob, also known as Israel. Okay, it's the very end of the book of Genesis. And Jacob lay dying, and all around him were his 12 sons, the 12 heads of the 12 tribes of Israel. And Jacob has a prophetic oracle for each of his 12 sons. But the greatest blessing of all that he has to give is to his son Judah. He's the one who gets the promise of a royal line, the mace shall never depart from Judah, tribute will be brought to him, he'll receive the people's homage. Judah was not the eldest child of Israel. Wouldn't you think that the greatest blessing to all the sons would go to the firstborn? That's what you'd expect, right? Firstborn of all the sons of Israel. But Judah was not the firstborn of the sons of Israel. Do you know who the firstborn of the sons of Israel was? The firstborn of the sons of Israel, I'm forgetting it now. Reuben. Reuben was the eldest of the children of Israel. And the secondborn was Simeon. And the thirdborn was Levi. Judah was the fourthborn of the children of Israel. I mean, he's not even the bronze medal winner. He just gets honorable mention. But he's the one in God's plan who gets the greatest blessing of all, because God's full of surprises. And surprises continue here in the gospel reading. Now, the biggest surprise here in the gospel reading is that there's four women whose names are mentioned. Now, women's names were never mentioned in a genealogy. Sorry, ladies, but that's just the way things were, right? But there's four women whose names are mentioned here: Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, and by implication, Bathsheba. And he goes out of his way, Matthew does, to tell us that about these four women. Why does he do that? It's because all four of them were either sinners or Gentiles. And that is absolutely not what you'd expect. Tamar and Rahab were prostitutes. Bathsheba was an adulteress. Ruth was a Gentile. Goes out of his way not only to mention the names of the women, but also these most unlikely of all people that would be mentioned. Why does he mention that? Because Jesus is going to come for the least people you'd ever expect. He's going to come for sinners. He's going to come for the lost. He's going to come for the ones everybody forgets and leaves out. And he's going to come for the Gentiles, all the peoples of the world. Our God is full of surprises. Surprises continue here with some things that I have to kind of maybe unveil to help you appreciate. One of the biggest surprises here in this reading is this little line: Jeconiah became the father of Shealtiel. Now, a little bit of background there. Jeconiah was the father of a king named Zedekiah. Okay, Zedekiah is best known as the last king of Israel. Zedekiah was the king when the people were conquered at the time of the Babylonian exile. And Zedekiah and all the people of Israel, including all of Zedekiah's sons, they were all taken away in captivity. And the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, did something terrible. He lined up Zedekiah and all of his sons, and one by one, he killed every one of Zedekiah's sons in his presence, and the last thing that he did was he gouged out the eyes of Zedekiah and killed him, so that the last thing he ever saw before he died was the extinction of the royal line. And it seemed like, beyond any possibility of any doubt, God's promise had been broken. And the line had been extinguished. But God is full of surprises. Zedekiah had another son. His name was Shealtiel. And Shealtiel continued the line in secrecy. Nobody knew what was going on. And then all these other names, Abiud and Eliakim and Azor and Zadok and Achim, you never hear those old names in the Old Testament. That's all the secret line of the kings of Israel that God is nourishing, and nobody knows God's at work, but he's very, very much at work, fulfilling his promises. The promise that he made long ago to Judah and the death of Isaac, he's fulfilling now. That's the number one point here in this reading. That's why this reading begins by saying, here's a book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Every Jew could have said he was a son of Abraham. There were dozens and dozens of descendants of David, but this reading says he's the son of Abraham, the son of David. You ever wondered why he goes out of his way here in the gospel to show that there's no biological relationship between Joseph and Jesus? It's because the purpose of this reading is to show that Jesus is the heir of the promise. He's the one who gets the legal right to claim the throne of David. And that was done by naming a child. As you're going to hear in the gospel on Sunday, Joseph is the one who gives Jesus his name and thereby gives him his inheritance and thereby fulfills God's promise. So, you know, here's just a little tiny thought for you here. And I love this thought, that our God is full of surprises, that he's at work when nobody thinks he's at work, and that his plan is not just good, it's perfect. That's the reason for these 14s. You hear at the end of the gospel? 14 generations. 14 was the number of King David. Pardon me for throwing too much information at you this morning, but this is just so interesting. You take the name David, and in Hebrew, you add up the letters, and it's a number. You add up the letters of the name King David, and the number is 14. 14 plus 14 plus 14 equals 42. 42 is the number of encampments that Israel made from their slavery in Egypt to their freedom in the Promised Land. Everything God unfolded was perfect, even when nobody thought that it was. Just a little Advent thought for you here this morning. When you think God is absent, he's more present than he's ever been to you before. So don't tune him out. The same way you're tempted to tune out this reading when you hear it, right? Even now, God is closer to you than you can possibly imagine. Amen.